This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here. And this evening we've got a special guest, co-host.
I'm not that special.
I'm here, but I'm not that special.
Mr. Arvie Miller.
Hello.
Hello. It's been a long time since you've been co-hosting with me on Hide and Seek.
With you, yes. There we go. Back with one of them. Dean, I think. Maybe Tim. I don't know. They all blend together, the other ones.
They do. Yeah. Well, maybe tonight as well.
No, I'm told there's no practical at that workshop.
Okay. Big thank you to the Right Here, Right Now boys team and for their show. Coming up tonight, look, Berry Street, since 1877. Has been working with children, young people and families during their most challenging and complex need times. Often they are the last resort, and they are going to be joining us tonight to have a chat about how we in the LGBTI communities can support them.
Yeah, because we, you know, recently there's been a lot of discussion around adoption. There's been a lot of discussion around surrogacy, especially international surrogacy, but fostering tends to be forgotten or neglected, yeah. Which is a very, very important function and role in Australia. Particularly, there are way more foster kids in Australia than there are kids available for adoption usually. So it's a very important program, and we're very excited to have Berry Street with us tonight.
Have your say, share your thoughts, connect with your community. Email onair at joy.org.au. SMS 0427 joy949.
Hide.
This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Arvie Miller are with you tonight.
And we have a guest.
We have a guest. Anita is from Berry Street. Good evening, Anita.
Good evening. How are you today, Andrew?
Very well.
So and Arvie.
Hello.
So Berry Street's been going since, what was it, 1877?
Yes, a long time. We're very tired.
So what does Berry Street do?
So Berry Street is a not-for-profit child and family welfare organisation that has been operating since 1877. Back in those days, it was known as like a baby's home, and we also, Berry Street, trained mothercraft nurses to look after all the babies that came in. There was a lot of adoptions in those days. But now in 2015, we work with some of the most vulnerable children in Victoria. So we do residential care for young people, foster care, kinship care, therapeutic care. We also have a school. So we do lots of things really that are early intervention type things as well. We have a very large family violence program in a couple of our regions. So back in the day in 1877, the most vulnerable people were the babies that couldn't be cared for by their families, mostly because of poverty. But today we're still looking after the most vulnerable, it's just that they're different.
And Berry Street, is it Collingwood? Where is Berry Street? Richmond.
Richmond,
okay. Yes, so it started here and it's just in Victoria, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes,
yes. So what do you do there?
So my role is a senior advisor role. So I provide support to our regional services that deliver home-based care. So that's foster care, kinship care, therapeutic care.
So take us. I think a lot of us might understand what foster care is, but we probably haven't heard of those other terms like kinship care and therapeutic stuff. So. Yep. You know, we understand that fostering is, you know, looking after kids for a shorter amount of time. You know, yes. they're when they need sort of temporary housing and temporary stuff. But what are the rest of the services?
Yeah. So kinship care is, so if I just take it back a step, when a young person comes under the attention of the of child protection services, And if the assessment is that the children need to be removed from the family for whatever reason, the first thing that child protection has to do is determine if there's somebody within the child's family mm-hmm. or friends that may be able to take that child. So that's kinship.
Mm. Okay.
So when a child is placed with a family member or somebody that's known to the child. So that's always the first option, and then the next option is foster care.
And I'm guessing, you know, a grandparent or an aunt or uncle or friends of the family may not automatically be in position to support the child, so you come in and help the other family member or friend to get used to the idea.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes, we do. Yeah.
So what does that process look like? I mean, I assume it's obviously the kids come first, but what does that look like from a foster carer's point of view?
Okay, so when, you know, for example, if you rang up and said that you were interested in becoming a carer, mm-hmm. we would ask you to just complete an application form, mm-hmm. and then a worker would come and visit you in your home and just have a look around to see whether or not there's things that might be dangerous for a young person, like you might live on a farm and there might not be a gate around the family home that would stop the kid from running into the dam, for example. Sure. You know, so they might do a home and environment check, quickly check up with you and get you to sign some forms for checks, like a working with children check, a mm-hmm. police check. And then you'll undertake, if all that goes well, then you'll go through a training program mm-hmm. that usually takes around between 4 and 6 weeks. Some programs will run them over a weekend mm-hmm. To capture the people who work outside the home. And then you'll go through a formal assessment process, sure. which is reasonably rigorous for the obvious reasons.
Yes.
And then the day you're approved, you know, the first question that somebody says when they've just been accepted by the panel and they said, yes, congratulations, it's wonderful to have you within our program, they'll say, how long do you think it'll be before we have a child placed with us? And we usually say, the phone may even ring before you get home.
Because, I mean, that is one of the defining elements. I know years ago, I think I spoke to Barry Street on a different program, but one of the defining elements of foster care is the immediacy and the urgency in a lot of cases.
Yes, it is. Look, you know, it's nothing for carers to get a phone call from our program, you know, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, whatever the case may be. And, you know, the thing that we expect from our carers, and the carers would want to do nothing less, is, you know, to welcome them, you know, might have a nice warm drink on for them or something like that, check with them about whether they'd like to have a bath before they go to bed, whatever the case may be, and make them really welcome. Because you can imagine it must be very difficult for a child to be going into a strange place at any time of the
particularly
day.
Particularly if there's been an incident or something.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the unspoken thing is that if you're phoning at 10, 11 o'clock at night, something has happened.
That's right.
There's a crisis event that's occurred.
Yeah, there has.
So you need to be, I suppose that's one of those sort of key differences, is that you are shoved, sort of they're forced into a very big situation very quickly.
And I think that, you know, and that's one of the major reasons why it's so important for us to have really good quality training for our carers. Mm. And we at Berry Street really pride ourselves on the training that we provide for our carers, not just before becoming a carer, but also once they've started their caring career with Berry Street. Because, you know, it really is important for them to have an understanding about what it must feel like for a child to, you know, to be taken to a stranger's house and be said, look, you know, we're not sure how long you're going to be staying here, but this is where you're going to be living for a little while.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask as well, is there, do you have specialised foster carers, like people who specialise in kids with particular needs, maybe physical or emotional needs?
Really good question, Ava. Mm. We do, actually. And when individuals are going through the process of becoming a carer, we talk to them about the different types of care that they might be interested in the different ages and the gender of the children. And so there is, you know, we need some carers, obviously, that can care for children who have experienced extreme trauma, like maybe sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. There may be some carers who don't feel comfortable about doing that or want some more practice before they start doing that. There may be people who are really interested in caring for a child with a disability or really medically fragile, and different age groups. So, yes, most carers have a particular field of interest.
And so I suppose the question comes then... What makes a good carer?
You know, that's nearly as good as the question that Arby asked me before we came on air, which was, what is the meaning of life? look, what makes a good carer is somebody who really understands the needs of the child and is prepared to work as a team with our program, mm-hmm. because carers can't do this on their own. We're talking about, these days, the children coming into care have experienced lots of challenges, and so carers can't do this on their own. They really need to be able to work as part of a team. We also, you know, like our carers to be able to have an understanding about the concepts of attachment and trauma and how that plays out in a child's life once they've sort of experienced the trauma that they have in their life and once they come into care and what that means for them. So really it's about someone who's flexible, who has an understanding about attachment and trauma through their training and also are able to put that into practice, and someone who really cares and is warm.
And I'm guessing also that it's a case that you mentioned before very briefly that, you know, sometimes you run weekend courses for those who don't work at home. Yes. Now, I'm guessing for different age groups, you will be better for people to be at home.
Yes.
So when they come home from school or whatever.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. And so we have carers who do work outside the home, and so obviously our matching process is really important in those instances, because obviously, you know, you wouldn't be placing a really young child with that family, especially if they've come from, you know, some trauma, severe trauma at home, because you don't want them spending, you know, most of their time in daycare and a little bit of time with the carers. So some of those things are really important, but then there might be those that work outside the home that, you know, it really works for kids who are at school. And also, you know, lots of couples today share the role of parenting and sometimes both work part-time.
You're on Hide and Seek with Avi and Andrew. We're talking to Anita, who's one of the senior advisors at Berry Street Child Services. Now, we have this idea in our heads, obviously, from movies and television and stuff about the adoption process. And that's always played out as, you know, it's usually a young couple. There's usually, oh, we can't have kids. And then there's this, you know, either a long drama or a long comedy about an adoption process. But we always have this image in our head of a couple who want to now have kids. What does that look like from a fostering perspective? Do you guys prefer couples? Are single people eligible? Who is eligible?
Berry Street has a really non-discriminatory approach to our recruitment of carers. It can be single people, male, female, it can be same-sex couples, it can be young people, it can be, you know, the empty nesters. You know, it really, anyone can apply. We have a good process for assessment, and you know, one of the things that we look at is also their, you know, the stage of the life they're at. So for example, if a 60 year old person or couple came to us wanting to care, what we would be talking to them about is, what sort of care do you want to provide? Because surely part of your plan might have been to do some traveling around or having some time to yourself. So we would look at those sorts of things. But it really, you know, like we really welcome any applications. And like, we've deliberately had a wonderful partnership with Joy, with you guys here, because we know that the LGBTQI family have lots to offer children who require care.
And I'm going to possibly say something. I don't know if it's controversial, but there might be a lot of kids who are LGBTIQ who are no longer welcome at home, who need to get out of possibly dangerous situations. So having carers from the community to support these kids is something.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, you're really right.
Is that part of the matching process? I mean, if you're thinking about placement, does same-sex attraction come into it?
It does. I think the same as anything, though. Like, no more than anything else, I guess I would really need to say, because our matching tool is really about matching the child's need with the potential carer's skills, expertise, knowledge, and, you know, their capacity to meet that child's needs, whether it's by gender or age or lifestyle, whatever the case may be. So the matching tool is really something that we use across the board. But the example you gave, obviously.
Is the matching tool something that Berry developed? Is it a standard tool?
How it's not a standard tool. Berry Street developed our matching tool probably 5 years ago, and it's an action thing for us. We continue to, when I was working in the field, you know, we'd get a referral and we'd say, okay, let's go and see who we've got potential carer, and like I'd be able to put 10 carers up on the board.
Yep.
Today they're lucky to put one up.
Really?
So it makes it really, really difficult. But it's still at the same time, we still have to match. Even if there's one bed, if that bed doesn't match with that child, we can't place the child there. It's not going to work.
Wow. So is that demand driven, or as in the demand for service, or a decrease in the number of carers?
It is a decrease in the number of carers. Well. So what in Victoria this last financial year, there were 600 new applications for carers and there were 200 that left the system.
Wow. So only 400 net gain. Mm. Wow.
And what is
in
the...
I think that's wrong. I think it was 400. Yep.
What is the demand on carers, though? Is that increasing at the same... I mean...
Well, it is increasing in terms of your question could have two things there, so I'll try and answer it in both ways. So the demand is that children coming into care today, you know, are more challenging.
Mm.
They really are, and that's because, you know, the there's more challenges for the carers in terms of the children they're caring for. The system is more challenging. The families where the children come from, often there's more challenges within those families, and so that the demands on carers are certainly increasing, and the demand in terms of numbers is increasing. We've got more carers leaving the system than we have entering, at a time when we've got more children in care than ever before.
And I'm guessing, you know, as we've seen, domestic violence, at least reporting, is going up a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that potentially is flowing through to you guys as well.
Yes, it does.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We are joined by Senior Advisor Anita from Berry Street. We're talking about foster caring and all the associated services. You're on Hide and Seek.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it on
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Something for everybody.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with Avi and Andrew.
Now, this afternoon, down the road, we can see it over here, is the Victorian Parliament. It's just a stone's throw away. And
If
you can throw really far. Not my throwing.
Neither of us throwing.
So the Victorian Parliament today passed adoption equality. And
yay.
But, you know, tonight we're talking about foster care with Anita from Berry Street. And Anita, I just wanted to, though, touch on what's the core differences between foster care and adoption?
Yeah. When children come into foster care, obviously it's the immediate plan is where possible to return the child home. And, you know, that it might take a week, it might take a few days, it might take 12 months. But we do have legislation that limits the amount of time that a child
really can
be in care before it has to move into a more permanent
right, placement. Okay.
Yeah. And so that would more likely be what we term a permanent care order, which is very different to an adoption. So an adoption is where it's a legal permanent placement with that family. So permanent care is a transfer of guardianship from the state to a carer.
Which can occur for foster parents can adopt.
Yes, absolutely. Foster parents can adopt, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I know that from Home and Away. Yeah. There we go.
Always good to see things on tally.
Is there a significant rate of fostering to adoption? Is that something you guys
very
encourage or not encourage?
We would encourage it if it was in the child's best interest, absolutely. Mm. But look, there's very few transferences from foster care to adoption. There's a lot more from foster care to permanent care.
Okay. I was actually going to ask as well, because, you know, again, as I mentioned, we see these movies with and there's, you know, everybody has this thought that there are so many kids who are waiting to be adopted. What are the actual rates of kids available for adoption in Australia versus kids requiring foster care?
I'm not sure what I can say to you about that, because we don't run an adoption service in our organisation. But like, you can count the number of adoptions in Victoria on one hand in a year.
Yeah.
But the kids requiring foster care, you know, in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds over a 12-month period.
Which is a significant difference.
Mm.
You know.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So if I was to become a foster carer.
Yes.
When I get the phone call from you, I've gone through the training, get the phone call from you going,
Here he is.
We've got a 10-year-old coming in, 10-year-old boy coming in.
Yes.
What sort of are some of the things that that child might be displaying, let's say, behavioural, emotionally?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So, well, it could be either way. It could be the child is really angry. So if you think about some of the grief and loss things, so what's happened with that child is all of a sudden they've lost their family, they've lost their neighbourhood, they may have lost their school friends because they may have had to be placed in a placement because we've got such low numbers of carers, may have had to change their neighbourhood area where they normally would go to school. So if you think about what a young person might experience when they've experienced that real sudden terrible grief, so they could be really angry, they could be really sad. And so it's the carer actually giving that young person, you're giving that young person some space, not overcrowding them with questions, all of those sorts of things. And then just managing, accepting, you know, the child's history that the child's bringing with you and putting that into context with the behaviour. So if it's really difficult behaviour and challenging behaviour, it's about not taking it personally also. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding where that behaviour comes from. And it's really coming from the trauma that that child has experienced.
Are pets in the home a benefit?
Look, pets, you know, research shows us that pets are really helpful.
Mm.
They really are because, you know, a child will be drawn to a pet and, you know, that's where they may get their comfort from initially, or it just might make them feel really comfortable to sit down. The pet's not going to ask them any questions.
I was
going to ask if an Xbox was... are we going Xbox or PlayStation 4? Which one is?
They're helpful as well.
Yeah, and I suppose that's one of the... this is going to be deeply shallow, but that's one of possibly the benefits of some of our rainbow families is because we are, in some cases, big kids. You know, we have Xboxes and big TVs and Netflix and those kinds of toys that can they can be very kid friendly if you like, you know.
Yes.
And there is that.
All of
that,
those things are really helpful in terms of, you know, a child having some personal space and being able to lose themselves, you know, for a short period of time. And then, but the really important thing is the connection and the attachment that you as a carer may be able to make with the child.
Now, I'm assuming as a carer, though, I suppose if we go serious for a moment, that, you know, the foster, the parents of the child wouldn't necessarily know where I live and all those sort of things.
Right. Yeah.
So that there's privacy and security that way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there are times, Andrew, when, you know, like if a child's coming into your care and the plan is for your reunification, and that looks likely.
Yep.
Research shows us that the relationship between the carer and the natural family has a real positive impact on the child going home.
Okay.
Yes. Easier and quicker if there's a nice relationship between them. So if there was no risk to the carer, we might encourage you to actually be involved in some of the contact that happens between the child and the family, the child's natural family, in the plan for the reunification of that child. But if there was any risk to the carer, we would never ask them to be involved in that. And also, there is legal opportunities for us to withhold the place of residence of the child from the family.
I was going to ask that.
Where needed.
When you talk about, and that makes a really good sense that the carers and the natural family, if they get on, the kid is more comfortable.
That's right, yeah.
What is post-unification?
Yes.
The kid goes back to their natural family. What's the ongoing relationship with a foster parent?
Do you know, Avi, one of the things that is really lovely to see at times is that when a child has been in care and, you know, it's been a positive relationship between the carer and the family, and it's been a, you know, a difficult but ending up being a positive experience for everybody, often the carer may act like a, you know, an aunt or uncle would, and the child might come and have weekends every now and again. You know, so it's a bit of respite for the family, and it's really nice to see some of those things. So that can happen.
I was going to ask, though, as well, for the extended family of the foster carers.
Yes.
What is that? I mean, I suppose, you know, adoption is we know about. What is it like, and do we have sort of research around whether foster carers with big extended families are better, you know, what's that look like?
I don't know what the research on that is. What I can tell you anecdotally is that you know, the extended family for carers is incredibly important, because they're the ones that, you know, you're going to be able to sit down with and have a cup of tea or something and say, oh my God, I can't tell you about the day. You know, and for you to be able to get support from them is just, you know, it's gold.
I know my mother would be on a plane from South Africa within 30 seconds. If I told her that she had a grandchild, even just for 24 hours, she would be on a plane.
Bring her over, Avi.
She would be on a plane faster. Yes.
Now, of course, we are only a couple of weeks away from Christmas, talking about extended families. And so I'm guessing that this time of year can be good and bad for demand for foster services.
Yeah, it is. I think it's one of the emotionally difficult times for workers around this time, because, you know, everything that's displayed to us in the media, you know,
it's
wherever we
families.
Go, it's all about families, yeah. isn't it? And so for children that are in care, they're with a family, you know, but they're not with the family, irrespective of what's happened at home.
Yep.
Their birth family is their birth family. Mm. And so it is a difficult time for them. So what carers will do is that, you know, they will do everything in their power to be inclusive of the children having time, if it's safe for the children to have time with the carers. They'll work around that in terms of Christmas lunch. You know, there might be those extra special things that happen. And some of the things that Berry Street does for our carers around the Christmas time is we make sure that we support them with gifts for the children. You know, people in the community are wonderful the way they donate gifts for children in care over the Christmas period.
We are going to talk a little bit more about the Christmas appeal and all of Berry Street's attendance around our events over midsummer. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
Fireball.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. You're with Andrew and Avi this evening, and we've been chatting with Anita from Berry Street. Now, we're just mentioning Christmas, of course, which can be, you know, a bit of a trying time for many. But Berry Street, of course, have to get out and about a bit, and you've got a lot of kids to look after in one way or another.
We have got a lot of children to look after. So it's not just those kids that are in care, but it's also, you know, the families that we work with in family violence, within our schools. You know, there's lots of children that we work with across our programs. And so, yes, we do have a Christmas appeal on at the moment. And so if people want to drop off some Christmas presents at any of our offices, our Richmond office is in Salisbury Street, which is just off Church Street, more than welcome to pop in and leave some gifts.
And we should also note that Joy is a drop-off point for gifts as well.
Fantastic.
Wow.
So, yeah, so you can, if you're in the city, you can come up to the Joy Studios, level 9 at 225 Bourke Street. You can see us make radio magic. We are always more impressive than you imagine us to be.
And I should have known that.
We have a tree that you can come and put your presents under.
And if you're coming into the city, say on the weekend, coming into the city to do your Christmas shopping, you can come into Joy. There's a Berry Street gift suggestion list.
Yeah.
And then pop down the road, grab something, and then come back up and drop it off.
Indeed.
Mm. Now, Anita, we also see Berry Street the last few years around at a lot of our events, community events.
Yes. Midsummer's coming up.
Midsummer, exactly. Mm. So
you're more excited than a lot of our presenters.
We're faded now. So, Carnival, you'll be down at Carnival, no
we'll
doubt.
Yes, we'll be at the Carnival. We usually attend the march.
Yes.
Yes. And so people come and visit us at our stall, watch out for us, come and get some lovely products from us, and we have lots of good things to give away, and come and talk to our staff about foster care.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's a good time to have that chat for a while and find out more about it.
Yep.
And the stalls, I mean, your stands and those sorts of people are there. They're carers and advisors and people who would be involved in the process. So if I had serious questions and I don't know if you're signing people up, but you're certainly...
Yeah, well, we do. We have a sheet there that people can place their name and contact details for us, and then we'll contact them and let them know when there's an information session. Mm-hmm. And usually after midsummer, and also I've just gone a blank, the one in Dalesford.
Chill out.
We've often had to have an information session specifically for those people because we've usually
That's great.
I know, it's fantastic.
And you were mentioning earlier that the retention is a challenge nowadays. Mm, you had, 600 people come in, maybe 200 or 400 who didn't stay.
Yep.
Obviously, we want to motivate as many people to sign up, at least for the information session, Let's stack these numbers, guys.
Yes, let's.
Let's make them find bigger and bigger venues to hold these information sessions.
Yes.
And as we said throughout the night, all range of members from our rainbow communities are able to put their hand up to be a carer. Yes. Doesn't matter where
No, it doesn't matter where they live. Yeah. Well, I should be careful about how I say that. We do have services across Victoria, but there are some pockets in Victoria where Berry Street isn't mm-hmm. an option.
Okay.
But what we do, if people apply to us and they don't live in our service delivery area, we let them know of an agency where they can apply to. Yeah.
Share the love around.
Absolutely, we do. Yeah.
Now, are there any particular locations that you are in particular need? Can we highlight some areas of Victoria or even Melbourne?
Yep. So our northern metropolitan area, our office there is in Eaglemont. Our southern and eastern region, we are fairly desperate for.
Mm-hmm.
In our rural regions, Ballarat, Shepparton area, mm-hmm. and Gippsland.
Okay.
They're all really keenly needing carers, especially at some of what we would call the more tertiary end of the system, which is, some of those kids that have got really complex needs.
Yeah, sure.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy at 94.9. We are talking to Anita. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Ooh. I can't believe that at this time of night, I'm functioning quite well, really.
Well, we here at Joy wish you, we have thoroughly enjoyed our relationship with Berry Street. We wish you guys
Thank you,
the
Arlie.
Best Christmas appeal. We look forward to seeing you out and about at Midsummer, at Chill Out. If you are at those events, check out the Berry Street. You are with Avi and Andrew on Hide and Seek.
Thanks, Anita.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Avi.
You are on Hide and Seek. That's it for the show, Javi.
It is. Oh, I remember when they used to be twice as long. They felt like they were twice as long.
Big thank you to Anita from Berry Street for joining us this evening. Head to berrystreet.org.au is their website. You can check out more about them there. Or, as we're saying, go along to Midsummer Carnival. And they'll be there. Now, a big thank you to David, who does all our podcasts.
Yes, all of our podcasts are on the Joy website, joy.org.au/hide-and-seek. You can catch up with your latest episode. If you listen to us on iTunes, go ahead and rate us. That would be awesome.
Oh, yes, we always forget to do that one.
Yeah, you can always rate us on iTunes. I want to see big ratings, people. As you know from Joy's annual general meeting, Hide and Seek is the most popular specialist show on Joy, and we want to see some ratings to match that.
Yes, that'd be very good. Thank you very much. I'll be back next week with one of the boys.
Oh, no, I think you should make both of them come back next week and you can have a day off.
Who knows?
You can follow me on Twitter at Avi on Joy. And if you like the sound of my dulcet tones, you can also hear me on Tuesday Drive with a new Adam and Alex team. I'm the sensible one.
And all our Hide and Seek social media posts and links are available at joy.org.au/hide-and-seek. Until next week, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.